come tomorrow, I won't let it slide or slip through my fingers. I turn the tide, see what answers the wind will blow. Come tomorrow, I won't settle down. Too many times I heard the run around. I walked the line that I will never toe. Come tomorrow.
Saturday Night Country, Australia's home of country music, of course, on ABC local radio around Australia, internationally on Radio Australia, and we stream to the planet on the World Wide Web. And joining us now in our Saturday Night Country studios, are looking fine. I have not seen them since they were working very hard in Tamworth, but it's a joy always to see members of The Flood and to be with us tonight to, well, to showcase and release their brand new album. Tim Weddy and Kevin Bennett of The Flood, thanks for coming in.
Hi, mate.
Thanks, John.
Pleasure.
It's good to be here.
You both look very well, and it is a joy. It's always a joy when I'm presented with a new album from The Flood, and as I go back over The Flood's history, one could probably be critical and say there haven't been as many albums as I selfishly would want, but is that a fair comment, Kevin Bennett?
Well, possibly, yeah, but again, being independent and kind of, you know, we kind of need to take a bit of time between albums to save up the finances for the next one, really, John. We use kind of the finances we make from one to make the next, and it takes me a while to get some songs together usually too, so that's the biggest stumbling block we have is money and songs. So well, we were just a bit lucky this time. We sort of came up with these songs a bit quicker than usual, and we had some finances, so we decided to make another album, I think, 2 years after the other one, or roughly. So that's a bit of a record.
So why did Kevin Bennett suddenly have more songs than he usually does have?
Well, look, it's a story I've been banding about a bit, but it's funny. I found a guitar that I'd sort of stowed away for years under the house, and I'd left it in the back of a car, and it got all kind of mouldy, and all the fur of the guitar case stuck to the guitar, and it was kind of a bit icky to play.
So it curdled, John.
So I kind of put it under the house and forgot about it. And it's a beautiful old Guild, and it's a lovely thing. But I moved a couple of years ago, and I sort of realised I still had this guitar. I hadn't looked at it for years. So I got out and I strung it up, and it played really well, and I found a whole bunch of songs laying in there. It was a kind of really interesting experience. I haven't been this prolific for years, really, since I was a kid, really. And I banged out about, I don't know, over a dozen songs in pretty quick time. And again, they just seem to be laying in there waiting for someone to bring them out, you know.
Just on that guitar, what age was that guitar? I mean, when was the last time you played that guitar?
It would have been at least 10 years ago.
Okay, so
that I last played it, but the guitar is a 70s Guild, so.
From the 70s, then, those
I've
sounds
forever,
were coming.
So I sort of wander around guitar shops. I had a Nick Drake album, and he played this little Guild on the cover of it. It's him sitting with a little Guild on his lap. And I went around every guitar shop annoying them with this cover, saying, "Have you got this guitar?" And the closest I could do in Sydney was this slightly bigger-bodied Guild, and I've loved it ever since.
Tim, I'm going to talk to you in a moment. I know you're part of the band The Flood, but Kevin's telling me about something I was going to ask about anyway. You mentioned Nick Drake there, and Nick and Elliot at the start and the end of this album.
Yeah.
So it's Nick Drake and Elliot Smith, and of course,
right.
Singer-songwriters, both tragic stories about the end of their life. You pay tribute to them in the song, and for our audience, they were singer-songwriters. And Kevin, explain about Nick Drake firstly, because his album, "The Pink Moon," and what he's done, and that sad life that he had at the end. Are these singer-songwriters been an influence for you?
Yeah, in a big way. Nick Drake, particularly, he was my vintage, and when he was around, I was about his age, I think. And I identified with him. I loved his music, and I didn't realise how, you know, when he died, how kind of sad it was that he was basically, I think, a misdiagnosed schizophrenic or something, or, you know. But he had a charmed life, really. He was a well-off kid, and, you know, he had everything, really, a really privileged sort of upbringing. But it didn't help in the end. You know, he kind of wrote songs and he went out and he tried to play live and couldn't do it. He just wasn't made of the stuff, you know, that you need to sit up in front of an audience and play the kind of vulnerable music that he was playing, very personal. And he found it very hard to take when the audience kind of, you know, talked all through his songs and all through stuff at him and stuff like that. So it was, and he checked out a bit early, I reckon, way too early. He should have made, like, he's just sold his millionth record now, I think. And since the 70s. So
he died in 1974.
He's a lot more popular now than he ever was. He's a big influence on a lot of young folk, and I think he was an influence on Elliot Smith, who again, you know, checked out by his own means, unfortunately. But he was a great contemporary singer-songwriter that I liked a lot, and I was flabbergasted when I heard that he died. So that just came out. I'd watched a Nick Drake DVD. Just off the net, called A Skin Too Few, I think. And it's a beautiful little film about Nick's life. And I sort of picked up the guitar and started, and those lines just came out. And I'd said everything I wanted to say in the four lines that came out. And that kind of seemed like, you know, it's a 50-second song. And I thought, God, what am I going to do with that? You know, it's going to sit around in my book like a whole bunch of unfinished stuff, you know. And then I realised it was finished, so I played it to the guys, and it ended up bookending the record, basically, so, yeah.
Too beautiful for this world. Way out of context. Too beautiful for this world. Hope you're happy in the next.
There it was. There was
my
the,
musings on them. Yeah,
there's your musings on there. We just heard that, and
that's right.
Again, and Tim Wood is with us, of course, from the Flood. Tim, when did you and meet Kevin Bennett and become part of the Flood? Tell me, I've forgotten. If I knew anyway.
Yeah, it's going back away now. But I'd worked a lot with James Gillard, and I'd never met Kevin, and I think it was Tamworth around about. The first Tamworth I went to, James was playing down at the Tamworth Hotel with Kevin and the old lineup, and I walked down the stairs of the garden bar at the Tamworth Hotel, and I thought, those two guys singing together is the best thing I've ever heard in my life, and that's, I want to do that, you know. It wasn't really till the previous lineup of the Flood disbanded around 2000, March 2000, yeah, or something like that. And Kev, I'd been in there and I'd played on the Two album. Again, James had dragged me in there, and that was sort of the first time I'd met Kevin. Played on a few fantastic songs on that record. It's a great record, I reckon. And a few months after that, Kev was sort of wondering what he's going to do when the other lineup disbanded, and he contemplated going solo, and then I think he changed his mind and thought, I'll put another Flood together. Mm. And I was part of that. But so it's been, nearly 8 years, I think.
Yeah.
It's interesting what you're saying about the regularity of the records, because it was after being in the band for about a year, I thought, geez, how many great songs has Kevin got that don't make it onto an album and don't get recorded? And that at that point, I made it my mission to, you know, the goal for me was always to be making records and getting Kev's songs recorded, you know, because then they're on something solid forever, you know. You can't take that away. And even though it was 6 years between the first and the second album, it has been quite regular since. We did an album in 2003. There was a bit of almost a 3 year gap, and this time it's only a 2 year gap. So, you know,
you're getting better.
You're getting better.
You know, having released in January 2006 and then again in January 2008, I'd be very happy if we were releasing our fifth album in January 2010, you know. But who knows, we may get excited and make a live record before then, you know.
which, of course, the musicians of the world would just wet themselves for, and, of course, your fan base will. But Kevin,
yeah, people want a live album,
And the song's already written, too. That's the best part.
That's the best part, isn't it? But, Kevin, how have you enjoyed the discipline of that?
Look, I really dig going down to my room and kind of picking up a guitar and seeing what happens, because you sometimes walk out of the room with something that didn't exist like a few hours before, and you can go and that night play it to someone and get a response. You know, you can go and sit a gig and say, "Hey, I got a new song, check this out," and play it, and you immediately know whether it's going to work or not. And that's a great thing about songwriting, I reckon, is that you get to kind of, like, I would never want anyone to witness what I do down there, I got to say, because it's me kind of, you know, banging away on a guitar and yelling and screaming until something comes out. I don't start with a map like a lot of songwriters have got ideas about, you know, the name of the song, where they're going to go with it and all that sort of stuff. I sort of don't do that. I just bang away on a guitar, play some chords, sing some words and kind of write the words that come out of my head down and fashion a song out of it, you know. And sometimes they're totally 100% truthful, and sometimes I manipulate them into a great story that started from like a germ of something that happened to me or I saw on TV or, you know. So it's great fun, a lot of imagination and a lot of noise down in that room, I've got to say, too.
Well, let's hear one of those songs, and we'll talk about this song, Golden Hills, after this on Saturday Night Country. My special guest tonight in our Saturday Night Country studio, Tim Weddy and Kevin Bennett from The Flood.
Nobody knows what I'm feeling. Nobody hears what I say. Nobody knows what I'm dealing with any given day. Jesus climbed a tall timber way up on top of the hill, looking down to the mud on the ground, singing, "Long gone is the thrill."
ABC Local Radio, Radio Australia, the World Wide Web, Saturday Night Country, Australia's home of country music, and Golden Hills, a song there from the album, everybody's favourite, The Flood. You have I Hear a Message in there or an idea about the world of country music and the young people perhaps starting out. Do I hear correctly?
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it is, John. I just worry about the young kids who are, you know, full of beans and going out there to make it in music and being, what's the word? Oh, I guess bludgeoned by the business sometimes, you know. I sort of worry about the kind of the kids who fall by the wayside and think that, you know, they go out, they make a record, that's it. You know, you're suddenly a star. There's a lot more that goes into that, and a lot of kids discover it early and a lot of them discover it late. But I sort of, because now music is a bona fide industry to be in as such, or vocation to have, I despair sometimes for the young folk coming up who sort of are full of beans and they just maybe, you know, don't crack it first up, you know, but they don't persevere, and then they're sort of, you know, brokenhearted by the roadside. And I kind of thought about that during that song, and it's sort of like, you know, have a go, but don't sort of maybe pin everything on it when you're 16, you know what I mean? Because it might be, a lot of kids don't realise you do a lot of gigs and it takes a whole lot of time to become an overnight success, you know?
As you well know.
It was interesting because actually Kev made a comment that not really directly related to that song, but in general, 5 years ago, that I really thought was quite poignant. And he said, I have the biggest respect for the people who haven't made it, but they're still doing gigs, and I think that's the thing, is if you're the real McCoy, you'll find getting out there and playing and everything is so irresistible to you that you'll do it anyway, whether you get a record contract or not, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting to look at, you know, the people who've been struggling for 10 years to get a record deal, but they're still out there making music and creating and, you know, doing what they do, regardless, you know. I think that's pretty much what The Flood's about too, you know.
We can't help it, you know.
We can't help
that. No.
No.
Always doing that.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about that, Tim? And also, too, remember that the Flood doesn't just exist with Tim Weddy and Kevin Bennett. There are other band members who are not with us tonight. And this is the hardcore, James and Scott. That's the Flood as we know it today. And you work very well as a team, don't you? It's obvious in the recording and seeing you work live. But with those the influences that happen in Kevin's mind when he's downstairs thumping away on his old guitar and screaming, how does that suddenly come into the band environment to relate Kevin's ideas? Do you have to draw them out, or does Kevin come along? I'm not talking about band meetings, but that artistic creative feeling that flows from perhaps one and then is interpreted by others. Does it work like that?
It does. I mean, I think within the four, between the four of us, there's a very healthy dynamic of exchange of views about, creative things. And I think, at the core of it, probably when it comes to the records, a lot of it's James and Kevin. And James, they have mutual respect for each other. James, wants to sing with Kevin and play with Kevin, and Kevin likes what James brings to his songs. So we have a pretty strong influence on how the song ends up being. But a song is a melody and words, and then everything else around it is up for grabs. We have those debates, and sometimes it might just be, we'll just play the song until we all go, wow, that's a good way to do it. That feels good. And if it doesn't feel good, then, quite often James will just sit on the floor and scratch his head until he's come up with a way that it will work better. And we can try things all sorts of different ways. So every song is different, every album's slightly different, but it is it's sort of like taking the raw song, and it is an open book. Although this time around was slightly different to the last one in that Kevin's become a little bit computer literate. Well, he can record these very, very dodgy, scratchy home demos, and he actually demoed the songs. So it's really interesting. A lot of parts that I played, exactly what Kevin had in his head, because he put them down on a thing at home. So
that's a first, though, John. Normally, I go and bang the guitar in the rehearsal room, and the guys fix it for me.
So this is how it will sound.
Yeah. But it is interesting in that sense. I think this record probably represents closer to what Kev would have originally had in his head when he wrote the songs than our other ones do, So,
well, let's hear one more on this time around, a song called Country Girl. It's part of everybody's favourite. The album, fine album from the band The Flood, Tim Weddy and also Kevin Bennett. Thank you so much for coming in tonight on Saturday Night Country, and I'll see you on the road, and we'll talk again soon.
Good on you, John.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers,
John.
Mate.
Cheers.
You should come down older road, showing everything she never showed. And it finally occurred to me that I never ever felt so free. She's a girl who rocks my soul. I walk a country mile just to lose control. And here she comes like an arrow flying straight to the heart, straight as a die. I can hardly wait to hold you. It's destiny.